Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in.
Hey guys, happy Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you're listening to this podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. If y'all could see me when I record these podcasts, my hands are moving. I'm so excited. The only thing that it would be better is if we could be together. I just love working through some of these topics with you guys, getting to pray together, getting to just like slow down the madness around us. Maybe that's just me. It's been a little bit of a crazy day already for us here. So anyway, I hope you're having a great day. If you tuned into the last episode of the podcast, you know that we talked all about the word create. What does Jesus say about it? Are we truly all creative individuals? What are our gifts? How do we stimulate our creativity? That was something I really wanted to dig into because I think we tend to say, sure, well, they're creative, but they're a photographer, or of course they're creative. Have you seen them? Blah, blah, blah. But we don't always realize our own talents and gifts. And as a child of God, that is something we are absolutely promised. So if you missed it, I highly suggest going back and listening. I have loved hearing from y'all all about that episode. And isn't it crazy how we minimize our own gifts? We just really struggle with seeing ourselves as creative when we were literally made by the chief creative officer himself. It is crazy to me. So you're not exempt. You are a creative person. You do have gifts, and he expects you to use them. So if you didn't listen, definitely go back and listen to that episode. Today, you know me, sometimes I tend to go a little bit rogue. And I am. We're going to go a little bit away from the Focus Devo. I've had this a couple things on my spirit lately, and I've learned not to second guess the Holy Spirit's prompting, especially because it usually has nothing to do with me, to be honest. So today we are going to talk about three things that God is teaching me and reminding my spirit about. And I just felt like maybe these would resonate with you too. Wherever you are, whatever season you're in, they're not really particular to necessarily my life. I really think that they can relate to you exactly where you are. So the first thing that God's really been, as I kind of step back, I was thinking about this podcast, I feel like, man, he showed me a lot of stuff. There's kind of several avenues. You know how he kind of, if you look at what the Lord has shown you about what people around you have said, what you've really resonated with, where you're struggling, right? What's coming up in your prayer life, what you're noticing, what's bringing you anxiety, what you really are searching for, all of those things. So when I say like, what is God showing you? I'm not saying like a Morgan Freeman voice is coming out in the bush, right? Like it's more so just, okay, let's look at the different areas of our lives. Where are some commonalities, right? Like what is God bringing to the forefront? If we are spiritually aware and we have our eyes open, what is he showing us? We have to have our eyes open in order to see, right? I don't know why sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we feel like he's not speaking, and he always is. So one thing that he's kind of been bringing to my spirit and just kind of showing me in different ways is that order brings peace. And order is found through surrender, not control. Order is determined by priorities, not directed by the particulars. And you know what I've seen, and this is always interesting to me, what I have seen every single time I write about being overwhelmed or trying to juggle the madness of life or a lot of different responsibilities and obligations and all this stuff is that everybody responds same. Like same. That is where I'm at. How did you know? Did you get access to my diary? Right? Like we spend so much of our days trying to curate a different perception when in reality, we are all just trying to learn and discern what it looks like to follow Jesus in new seasons, right? In the times of transition and in the valleys, especially when we find ourselves in the valleys, right? Like what does it look like to follow you here? And if I'm in this new season and I'm picking up something else, my hands were already full. So what do you want me to release, right? And I don't know about you guys, but with my own life, I have been craving order. But the problem was I kept trying to find order through the means of control. And I obviously didn't word it that way to my own mind at first, because to be honest, I didn't realize it. Like, the Lord really slowed me down and reminded me, hey, Clear, control is an illusion, right? Our desire for control is the enemy's tactic to get us obsessed, and I mean obsessed, with something we can never actually attain. Control is God's, right? It always has been, and it always will be. So what do we desire? Order. What is possible? Order. But for me, I wanted to know that when my feet hit the floor, I wasn't just reacting to my life. You know what I mean? Like, does anyone else feel that way? It is the worst. You feel like you're entering your days and you're kind of already behind, right? Because you feel like maybe your rhythms or your routines or just life is kind of smacking you in the face. Even when you're doing your best, you're kind of treading water. And through some serious praying and through some good old trial and error, right? I mean, that's just the reality of life. And through getting in the word, like, what has God already said about this? Because he has already spoken to this area, but have I truly dug in? And through asking myself some hard questions, I have been reminded that my soul is simply craving putting the one who created it first. And so what I was reminded is that I was searching for order of the particulars, but what I was really craving was correct order with priorities, right? Instead of trying to wrangle everything at once, and then say, okay, once I get all that settled, then I'm really going to give God my full attention. It was, I'm going to give God my full attention because that's the only way I'll actually know where my time needs to be driven, right? The Holy Spirit reminded me, hey, Clear, if you keep the important things important, I will help you sort through the other stuff. Amen. Like, man, we need some help, especially when, and you know, if you're a mom, but I mean, even if you're not a mom, in whatever type of where you find yourself in your life, it's like once you get through one stage or one phase and you feel like you not mastered it, but kind of got the hang of things, it changes, right? Like, life brings transition at all points. That is healthy. That is growth, right? If the view always looked the same, we would not be traveling very far. You see, because when we prioritize in a way that pleases God. So when we order our lives in a way, we prioritize things in a way that pleases our Father, order follows. Peace floods, right? And we praise God. Man, I've been praising him lately, that we are not the ones in control. What do we use to prioritize our time, our mental energy, our resources, our prayers, etc.? So I really want to ask you, like, what are your priorities? And are those in order? Are you trying to maybe order your life, right? And figure it all out? Love that phrase, because it's impossible and only the Lord can. But are you trying to figure it all out before you surrender control, or what you think is control? Because the reality is, the only way that you'll have any type of peace or sanity, honestly, and just from all the chaos and with the transition and just how life happens, is if you prioritize and trust the Lord to handle the particulars. Psalm 104:19, I love that. I want to share two verses about this. And it says, you made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to set. Y'all, if you think about just the break of day and night, That right there shows us like the Lord is king of order, right? He knows when our bodies need to rest. He knows when they need to rise. And you know how we get off kilter when we go to bed at like 3 a.m. one night and we're like, oh my goodness gracious, I am not made for that anymore. Especially as you get older, it hits different. But really, I mean, that just shows you like there is order. God knows He made us, right? He made us to be people of rhythm and routine and systems. Those please Him. But what pleases Him most is surrender. Genesis 1, 14 through 18 says, "Then God said, 'Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth.' And that is what happened." So as He said those things, right? Those things happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. I don't know. I just really take a deep breath when I read that because I realize, you know, you really can't operate during the day if you don't have light, right? It's kind of hard to get things done when you're in the dark. And that kind of carries through in a very, like, that is an analogy, but truly in a very physical and tangible sense. The Lord is the one who provides the way and the capability for to make things happen, right? And as we seek Him and say, "Hey God, can you, I'm going to get with you. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to learn your heart. I'm going to trust that you know my capacity. I'm going to trust that you realize my obligations in this season. I'm going to fully expect you to tell me what I need to release and what I need to pick up. And I'm going to let you direct me. I'm going to trust you to guide me. I'm not going to try and figure it out first or worry about running out of time or that you're going to miss something because you're God. You made the day and you made the night. So if I get with you first, you will help me find order." That's something that's just been blessing me. So thought maybe I would share it. The second thing that God's really been, or the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it, right? It's everywhere. That has really been kind of showing me in my life. And this is a hard one. I was like, how do I even say this? Tension, okay? Tension can be a bridge, not a barrier. When it is handled, this is key, when it is handled with humility, grace, and intention. Okay, you may not know this about me, or you may. I do not like tension, okay? In my perfect world, and I say this, I'll go back to this. In my perfect world, everyone's happy, peaceful, they are pleased with me, and we are all hopping in a big old bus, singing songs and sharing snacks, okay? And maybe not like that, but basically I fear abandonment, or maybe it's just like that division that can come from tension. And so I think I tend to kind of go extreme in my mind and to avoid that possible break of relationship or any type of just them being upset or displeased or anything like that. I'm just like, okay, if we can avoid tension, that would be fantastic, right? And I'm not really sure anyone loves tension. There are a few who are like, conflict, great. I love it. I can work through it easily. No big deal. But I do think that there are certain people that more naturally approach conflict, right? And others who run from it. And I'm the kind of person who has to immediately talk about it, as far as like with a friend. It's kind of different with Will. I'll circle back to that. But I want it to be gone, done. Like if I know something's going on, I can't, it's hard for me to just sit down and work through a normal day. I just want things to be well. I want it to be over. I want it to be out the door. I want it to be healed, fixed. And for the longest time, and I still struggle with this, but I felt like if there was any tension, it would just consume my mind and my heart, and therefore my day, like just absolutely make me a ball of anxiety. But the older I've gotten and the more that I've been through, honestly, and the longer that I walk with Jesus, and really the more that I learn how Jesus operated and how He the relationships he had around him, I am learning that tension is part of it. Tension is part of a relationship, a healthy one at least, right? When I looked up the definition in Merriam-Webster, I just wanted to kind of go, okay, well, how do they generally define it? Because I always like to see what they have to say. And there were two definitions that really caught my eye. One was inner striving, unrest, or imbalance, often with physiological indication of emotion, okay? The second was the act or action of stretching or the condition or degree of being stretched to stiffness. Do you hear how different those are? I think I treated tension as the first definition, that inner striving, that unrest, that, oh, I got to tend to this. I have to fix it. It has to just get figured out. Their healing needs to be immediate, right? Which LOL to that. But, you know, its very existence would cause my soul so much unrest, and I would strive doing anything I could to ease it. But I've been reminded that tension can actually be the exercise needed for growth, increased strength, and deeper intimacy. Will and I were talking about this the other day, actually, because it's always after we get in a heated discussion, right? Great terminology there, that we feel the most connected. And why is that? I think it's because tension brings the opportunity to dig deep, to discern what's going on, and to actually tend to the healing that needs to take place, right? Tension brings awareness to the places and parts of your life that might need new boundaries. It brings awareness and attention to the areas that might need fresh vision or stronger communication or healthier rhythms. You see, what I think is as we grow, you know, more and more with Jesus, and he becomes more and we become less, we realize that that tension is often the Spirit inviting us to go deeper, right? To say it may be temporarily uncomfortable. And you may think, oh no, I'm not sure if they like me, or this is not going to be fun, you know, or there might be a new normal for a short season. But I know that in order for us to truly have not fake intimacy, but true intimacy, and for us to actually live in that deep place where we can work through conflict, where we can be honest, right? Where we can, like, I think the unrest that I was talking about at the beginning with this tension, I think sometimes we think the unrest comes from, I just want it to be gone, right? I just want peace. But I don't think there's anything worse than knowing the peace is not true, right? That it's built on a false foundation. Because then anytime a storm comes, you're terrified, right? You're terrified of the wind blowing because what if? But when you know your foundation can withstand a storm, when they come, it's not fun, it's not preferable, but you know you're in it for the long haul. And so that's something that the Lord's been really just showing me, helping me take a step back. Honestly, just my perspective on that tension has helped me take things less personally and take a step back and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? Right? What do you want to open my eyes to what I'm, how I'm operating, maybe how I'm speaking, maybe how I'm praying, maybe how I'm seeing other people, whatever it is, like, Lord, would you refine me? Because I know I am always in the process of sanctification, and tension is a quick way, right, to open your eyes and embrace that process. Doesn't mean it's fun. Okay. Disclaimer on that second one, does not mean it's fun, but it's so sweet and it's so good and it's so necessary. Psalm 32, 7 through 8 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." I love that ending. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. When the Lord says, I think about that last portion about I will counsel you. In other words, it won't always feel good, right? Counseling doesn't usually feel good. It's, hey, we need to work through this. Hey, there's some tension. That muscle is a little tight. We're going to have to work through it, but my loving eye is on you. I see you. I know what you need. I know it's ahead. I know the heart of this relationship, and I know that other person. And so you have to trust me. And that's what, you know, the Holy Spirit's reminder is, hey, you have to trust me with that and lean into that tension and trust me to help you work it out. So the last thing that I wanted to share with you guys that I felt like it's kind of just been on my heart a lot. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, are you showing me this or showing others? And I realize that's often twofold, right? He's often revealing things to me that are relevant to just like, that's just how right the kingdom of God works. It's all circular, and a lot of things that we're all walking through, maybe not the exact same scenario, we're all different, but so many things relate. So the third thing is the more that I talk about Goliath, the bigger he gets. Okay. So whatever problems going on, whatever issue, whatever, just, I don't know. I think that word unrest is good, because I think problem insinuates like it's been lingering, or it can maybe be bigger, but unrest can just be even just like a little restlessness, right? And you don't even always know the source of it. A problem, I feel like you often know the source. Unrest, you feel like there's just kind of this weird underlying feeling in your soul. So the more I talk about Goliath, the bigger he gets. But the more I rehearse the promises of God, the more I realize how big God already is. Okay, so in other words, I'm the one who makes Goliath big. Okay, he does not have a fighting chance when I operate with the armor of God and as a child of the Lord, right? But the more that I rehearse the promises of God, the more I realize how big God already is. You see the difference in those? I make Goliath bigger than he really is, right? So it's an illusion. But the more that I rehearse the promises of God, the more I realize how big he already is. He's already that big. He's already that grand. He's already that sovereign, right? He, mine is just more so gaining awareness of his bigness and realizing that Goliath doesn't have a chance. Have you noticed how the more you talk about something, the more you talk about how anxious you are, the more anxious you get? You know, or that the more you talk about how stressed you are, I have all this stuff to do, da, 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 and the more you talk about it, and the more people you text about it, the more people that you involve in the conversation, the less you feel like you can handle anything that gets added to your schedule, or just life in general, because you've talked about it so much, you basically feel like you've done it, you know? And for me, I noticed that I used to wake up in the morning and I immediately would check my email, look back over my to-do list from the day before, and begin sorting through how my day needed to look. And I didn't even, to be honest, it was kind of subconscious. Like, I didn't really realize what I was doing. I was thinking, okay, where do I need to put my time? And it was causing me to, it was just giving me an immediate anxiety, right? You just feel behind because you're literally horizontal and you are thinking about everything you need to do when you're vertical, and you feel behind. And anything that was lingering or late, it felt heavier and it felt harder. And I dreaded getting on the battlefield. I had made Goliath bigger than he actually was. And so one thing that's really helped me in the mornings is starting my mornings off, which I always start with exercising, but for a lot of people, that's not how you start. And totally great. You can do this same thing wherever you are, whether it's showering or getting ready, or maybe you're already doing quiet time in a place where you can do this, but I literally proclaim promise over the people and the areas of my life. And I mean very specifics. And I know this is so simple and we talked about it before, but I think immediately in the morning before the enemy has a chance to get in your head or make a snowball of something or say, what if it doesn't work out? You start the day declaring how God will work it out, right? How different would your perspective be if you're like, well, I already know God's gone before me. I know he's with me. I know he's within me, and I know he's going to watch after me. So I'm not afraid, and I'm going to talk about what he's going to do, because I know here's the awesome thing about the Lord, right? There's no guesswork about how he's going to show up or in what capacity. He is all knowing, all powerful, all at every moment. There is no point in which you only get part of his awesomeness, or part of his majesty, or part of his sovereignty. You get all parts, all goodness at all times. And so I know this is so simple, but declaring that the deliverer, the healer, the protector, the provider, the comforter, wherever you need him to show up, right? Really specifics. Like, I think the more specific you make it, the more that your heart really can hold on to that. And before it comes to pass, right? That's that faith aspect. Like, you may feel like you're kind of faking it, but declaring it is helping your spirit. It's helping your emotions get in line with your spirit, right? You know truth, and you're going to coach your emotions to get in line. And that is the blessing and the beauty of being his child. You know he will show up, and you know he will show off. That is who God is. So remind your emotions how God will handle your Goliath instead of letting your Goliath confuse your emotions with God. I'm going to say that again because I think if we can do that in our lives, it is crucial and things will change. Remind your emotions how your God will handle your Goliath instead of letting your Goliath confuse your emotions with God, right? Let one inform the other, not vice versa. And make it personal. Like I was saying, what's an area of your life, like right now, think about it as I'm talking, that you need to stop ruminating on Goliath, on the problems, or on whatever's going on, and you need to start renewing it with the promises of God. Think about it. I want to, like, literally, I'm going to pause, and I want you to think about it. Here's what I know to be true. When you interrupt your anxious thoughts with reminders about the character of God, peace invades your soul. Anxiety stems from underestimating. This is good. Y'all lean into this. Anxiety stems from underestimating the security, the sovereignty, and the supernatural power of God. That is why humility is the gateway to peace. You're reminded of who is in control. So that's it. How do we walk in peace? We stop underestimating the security, the sovereignty, and the supernatural power of God. 1 Samuel 17:45 through 46. And this is right when David, you know, if you've not read that story, I really encourage you to go to 1 Samuel 17 and you can dig into the story of David and Goliath. But I really love the details of it, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but this is the portion where David enters the battlefield, right? He came to deliver food to his brothers. He realizes nobody wants to fight Goliath, right? They've all chalked him up. We can't handle him. They've realized how big he is. They're terrified. And David enters the battlefield. He's like, wait a second. He said, it says, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." It's intense, but hey. "And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." That type of victorious mindset is how we get to walk, knowing who's gone before us. Y'all, I know that was a change up from our focus, but I hope this podcast encouraged you. I'm going to remind you of the three things kind of just overarching, and maybe the Lord has one. He's really hitting home with your spirit. I encourage you to write it down. Think about it. Pray. Ask the Lord. Get specific. Make it personal. You know, podcasts are great, but they're just information until you make it personal. Order brings peace. Order is found through surrender, not control. Order is determined by priorities, not directed by the particulars. The second one, tension can be a bridge, not a barrier, when it is handled with humility, grace, and intention. And the last but not least, the more I talk about Goliath, the bigger he gets. But the more I rehearse the promises of God, the more I realize how big he already is. I'm going to close with the Monday prayer, but I really encourage you as you finish up this podcast and go about your day, or maybe you're about to go to sleep, or wherever you're at, And I really want you to ask, like, what is God teaching me right now? Because like I said at the beginning, y'all, he is always speaking. The question is, are you listening? Does your life allow you to stop and to have the margin to truly have conversation with Jesus? And when he speaks, are you willing and trusting enough to follow? I've started asking this question to close friends, you know, just what is God teaching you right now? What's he showing you? What's he opening your eyes to? And I love hearing the answer. It's always different, which just shows you the incredible ways that the Lord speaks to us and how individual we all are. And it almost always opens the door for a really cool and interesting conversation. And it just lets you know how you can pray for the other person. So I encourage you, if you're going to go to lunch with someone today, maybe you could ask your spouse later or your friend, family member, whatever, like, what is God showing you right now? And really care about the answer. I'm going to close up with the Monday prayer. As always, if you can, close your eyes. If not, it's all good. Please don't, my goodness. You can absolutely pray with your eyes wide flame open. We are just talking to Jesus. And if you could just pause and actually reel it in for a second. We're going to talk to the Lord. Hey, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of another Monday. The breath in my lungs reminds me that there is rich purpose in the week before me. I'm thankful and excited for what you have planned. Will you help me constantly remember that you are in control? I know so much of my anxiety stems from trying to take the wheel. Knowing that surrender and obedience is the only way to lasting peace. Thank you for the way you bring calm to every situation I face. You are the God of order and strength, even when it feels chaotic. Show me how to simplify what I should, systemize what I can, and sit with you as I sort through the particulars of my life. When I focus on aligning my priorities, you handle all else. I'm grateful for the way you check my heart and refine my soul. Often, I know it's through the tension I experience with others. Humble my spirit as I navigate discomfort. Remind me that we are all on the same team. Being mission-minded recenters my focus. You are the ultimate bridge builder, bringing good from everything. Lead me as I walk forward, rehearsing your promises at every turn. You are God. Worthy is your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I love it. Sometimes I honestly just need to say that out loud, take a deep breath, pause for a second, and then re-enter my day, right? So if you need to do that, seriously, come back to it. Like at any moment, that is the point of renewing your mind. All throughout the day, we need to do that, right? We constantly have to remind our flesh, who is in control? I hope this podcast encouraged you guys. If it did, would you mind sending it to a friend or leaving it a review on Apple? It's so easy. You literally just go to the page on Apple Podcasts, go to Let's Be Clear, and you can click and leave a review. It takes like 3 seconds and it's so helpful. I don't make any money off this podcast. It's just a way to encourage people. And the more reviews that there are, the more that Apple spreads it to other people so that they can find out about the podcast. So it means so much to me. And don't hang up. Hold on. I also wanted to remind y'all about my new children's book that is available for pre-order. And I think you will love it. And pre-orders are so helpful for authors. The link is in the show notes, but you can also just go to Amazon and type in The Miracle of You. Clear Cherry Reeves, or just The Miracle of You, it should come up. It's a children's book, and I'm so excited and thankful for this project. I pray that I think it's going to be really cool to see how the Lord uses it. So anyway, you can order that now. It'll be in your mailboxes just in time for Easter, which is awesome because, man, the greatest miracle, right, is that he came for us. Anyway, don't even get me started. I love you guys. So grateful for y'all. I hope this encouraged you and I am praying for your week. And just know that God is constant. He is with you. He is for you. and that you can focus on his sovereignty and how big he is, and he can handle everything that you have going on in your day. Trust me. Have a great day. See you soon.